With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams, and for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, are the Ravens actually the best team in football? We'll discuss coming up in about 18 minutes from now. Also, later on in the hour, DeAndre Hopkins speaks out against poor, consistently poor NFL officiating. Lots to get to this final hour of the show, plus your epic fail coming up later on in the hour. I know you guys want to weigh in on a ton of topics. We've gone in on the Bears and the Trubisky mess from last night. We've looked at the Tua injury. We've talked about the Raiders getting that victory yesterday at home. Moving to 6-4. We've talked about the Patriots struggling offensively, the cap workout. All of that is on the table, so hit us up at 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Ed tweets, everything that you've said makes me think that this is a real injury for Trubisky. Why on earth would Nagy make this a story if absolutely necessary? Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, maybe he's just a bad coach. Maybe he's a bad decision maker. I mean, Matt Nagy has made his life unnecessarily harder previous times. The kicker situation, scapegoated Cody Parkey, brought in all of those kickers to consistently try out in front of people, made it a public affair, kept talking incessantly about it, and what happens? Eddie Pinheiro is a mess. Remember a couple of weeks back, they were getting towards field goal range and decided to run out the final 90 seconds of the clock and not try to gain more yardage. And then Pinheiro missed the game-winning field goal. And then after the game, sniped with reporters, how dare you question me on this? He has had a history this season of making his life harder than it has to be. And last night, I think he did that. I think also there's the possibility, remember, that Matt Nagy is not a Trubisky guy. Matt Nagy took over and Trubisky had been drafted. Remember, Trubisky was drafted under John Fox. And John Fox apparently wasn't sold on him. So is it possible Nagy feels like he'll be scapegoated by his GM Ryan Pace, who loved Mitchell Trubisky and traded for him, well, traded up to draft him, and that Nagy used last night as a C? What do you want me to do? Is it possible inside that locker room, Trubisky has lost all hope from his teammates? And so Nagy, in the hope of saving the locker room support, showed everybody he's out. There you go, guys. He's out. There's a lot of internal stuff. What happens if ownership says, you know what? Trubisky is a mess. We don't like him. You get rid of him, and here's Matt Nagy cowing to ownership, saying, I tried to play him to Ryan Pace, but he's just so bad, I had to show ownership something. I had to show the fans something, that we have to have some accountability here for Trubisky. Now, he couched it with the injury, but here's why that seems so ridiculous. Let's hypothetically say they're telling the truth. that Trubisky was compromised with a hip injury that he suffered last night. They were okay enough with it up until 3 minutes to go in the game. He ostensibly had one last drive. You're telling me it was worth it to create a question and a firestorm about whether he got the hook to save him for one drive in a 10-point game? The game's already lost. The game is lost. And what you've now done is you've said, we couldn't afford to keep putting him out there for, what, three more plays? None of it made any logical sense to take out Trubisky last night, besides the fact that, okay, you know what? We're holding everybody accountable. He stinks. Everybody needs to see this. But then to couch it with, oh, it was a hip injury. Let me throw this out for you, okay? I'm going to give you a nice little conspiracy theory on what happened last night. Matt Nagy inherited Trubisky and realizes his offense can't run with Trubisky. Matt Nagy realizes he's under incredible fire from everybody that he looks like a dunce. Ryan Pace needs Trubisky to succeed to validate his decision. And Nagy, sensing he was losing the locker room, yanked Trubisky at the end of last night's game. And Ryan Pace said, we got to have an injury on that. You can't yank my guy and say it was because of his production. No, it's got to be about something else. Because nobody knew why he got yanked until a few minutes later, Bears PR put out that it's an injury. Who knows? This could be Ryan Pace going, no. You're not going to humiliate my guy like that. We don't know. The whole thing is ridiculous. Let's talk about Kirk Cousins, shall we? Because is there anything better? Is there anything better than angry Ned Flanders roaring back down 20-0 at home against the Broncos?
Ah, hell, did I think that crap?
First and 10 from Denver's 32. Cousins under center, play action. Bootlegs out to the left. Looking to the left. Firing. Caught.
You have to understand, we play this game one play at a time. And it's very cliche, but it's the truth. And you can't get it all back in one play. And you still have to take checkdowns and take what they give you. Throwing an interception in double coverage is not going to get you back in the game. So you take what they give you, you play one play at a time, and you trust that if they give you a shot, you take it.
Purple drapes.
Paul Allen on the Vikings Radio Network. Kirk Cousins trailed 20-0 at the half. The last 99 teams to trail 20 by 20 points did not come back to win. All lost. Cousins just accomplished something that the previous 99 teams could not. He scored a touchdown on every drive of the second half. He was brilliant. He was brilliant. They outscored the Broncos 20-0 in the fourth quarter. He was brilliant. And his seed he threw to Stephon Diggs, the 54-yard touchdown, in between coverage, splitting the corner and the safety, was really a thing of beauty. So now, Cousins has beaten a winning team in prime time. Cousins has come back from a 20-point deficit. Cousins is 5-0 at home, and Cousins is 8-3.
We got some juice here. You like the juice? We got some juice. You like the Cousins juice? We got the Ned Flanders juice.
All I know is we're going to get Ned Flanders in the playoffs, and we are going to get this guy, high diddly ho neighbor. And he is going to be playing in the postseason with all types of scrutiny and pressure and people not believing, and we will have seen a character evolution from nerdy Ned Flanders, can't do anything, everybody's punchline to a straight up killer. Right now, dude is Joe Montana. Right now, combination of Johnny U and Tom Brady. Right now, you can't stop Ned Flanders. You can only hope to contain him under 30. This is incredible. After the last two seasons, after Adam Thielen basically telling him you suck on national TV on the sideline last year, after Cousins apologized publicly to his wide receivers, after Mike Zimmer was asked, I don't know, ask the quarterback, when asked why Kirk Cousins was so bad against teams with winning records, when Kirk Cousins has turned this all around to become not the hero we deserve, but the hero that we need, nothing could delight me more. Oakley dokely, Vikings fans. Ned Flanders is coming for the NFC. And you can't stop him.
Heidely ho, neighborinos.
855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico, a toll-free number. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, to get it all, geico.com. David's in Buffalo, listening on 1270 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, D.A., appreciate you taking my call this morning. How you
my
doing?
My pleasure, my friend. What's going on?
Oh, man, good day for the Bills yesterday. You know, first off, beating Ryan Fitzpatrick and all the noise he always gets about how he's this journeyman quarterback. That was cool to see us beat him yesterday. But I really liked the offensive game plan yesterday. Singletary got the ball 15 times. Allen only threw it 33 times. And it was just an efficient game plan. It made sense. You know, next week Denver's going to be a tricky game, but after that, you know, Adam Archuleta made a good point at the end of the game yesterday. The Bills are going to really find out in the month of December. They got Baltimore, they got New England, Pittsburgh on the road. You know, you're going to really find out Dallas on Thanksgiving. You're going to find out where this team is at. And I like what they've done so far, but I think, you know, the last month of the season, we're going to find out how true this team really is, you know, because the defense has played great.
I think you're right, Dave. They needed to come back after that bad loss against the Browns. They really looked out of sorts in that game. The Browns, that was a Browns team that was flailing, and the Bills were so good on the road up until that point in time, but then really didn't play well in that game. So to bounce back after that and have a good performance yesterday, I think you're right, was very good. Josh Allen, very effective day, as you mentioned, offensively. Probably the best offensive day we've seen in a long time against the Bills. I would temper enthusiasm because it is the Dolphins. I know that Miami has won two games, but again, beating the Dolphins should not be any reason to really feel confident about your team. But you're absolutely right on that December defines this season. They should be able to beat the Broncos at home. At Dallas, home Ravens, at Pittsburgh, at New England tells us whether the Bills should be taken for real in the playoff race. Because 7-3 right now, this is a tipping point. 7-3, they should be able to get to 10 wins. And if they get to 10 wins, more than likely they're in the playoffs. But do those 10 wins come without beating the best teams on your schedule? You know, they get rolled by the Ravens, rolled by the Patriots, rolled by the Cowboys or Steelers. Well, then we know, yeah, they might make the playoffs, but they're not going to do anything once they get there. If they can hang with those teams or beat some of those teams, then we got something for the Bills in January. When we come back here on the show, speaking of the Ravens, they shined again yesterday, and the Patriots looked pretty underwhelming. Is it possible not only the Ravens are the best team in the AFC, but the Ravens are the best team in football? We'll discuss. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Mark Jackson, pirouette to the left, throws a strike at Ingram. Ducks under one tackler to the 10, to the 5, lunges at the 1. Touchdown, Mark Ingram. T.O.B., thing of beauty. What a play.
I never tried to defend myself before. I really don't care what they say. You know, my guys know, you know, week in, week out, you know, we practicing, we see it. I know if I wasn't doing my job, June on the team, you know, and he's on the end. So I really don't care what the data say. You know, I'm just going to keep playing ball and I'm with my guys regardless.
Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. That was Ravens Radio on the call. Talking about yet another victory in impressive fashion by the Ravens. Thanks so much for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. As always, you can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio network. And also, you can check us out using the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, or Apple Music. You can watch us at watchda.com. And you can listen to us on Sirius XM, channel 206. Ross Tucker just joined us, NFL insider. I asked Ross, are the Ravens the best team in the AFC?
I had the Ravens number one last week. I always go by what I think would happen if these teams played like a 3 or a 5 or a 7 game series on a neutral site right now. And I have the Ravens as the best team in all of football because the way they're playing and the way Lamar Jackson is playing right now, I just don't think there's anybody as good as them. And I'm not even sure it's close right now.
Not even close right now. Now, he was talking about the Ravens are the best team in the NFL. I don't know if I can go that far right now. They have perhaps the best win in the AFC. Now, strike that. They have the best win in the AFC, beating the Patriots the way that they did and walloping the Texans yesterday. But when you look at the NFC, there's really good teams over there. And I think there's a case to be made for the Ravens. But when you're looking at the Ravens, the Saints bounced back in a big way yesterday. The Packers are still 8-2. And the San Francisco 49ers survived a game against the Cardinals at 9-1, while the Seahawks are 8-2. Are the Ravens definitively better than all of those teams? I think they have a quarterback at 8-2 that feels like the most dangerous quarterback right now in the league. And it would be hard not to give Lamar Jackson or Russell Wilson the MVP right now. It's going to be one of the two. And the fact that Lamar Jackson is already there suggests that the entire league was off on Lamar Jackson. And so many of us were. But this is a guy that gets drafted at the end of the first round and in such a brief amount of time is now one of the most valuable players in the NFL. I think the Ravens are also peaking right now. I think right now they're playing their best football. And having gone to Seattle and winning easily, the way that they trashed the Patriots, disassembling the Bengals, not even a threat, and then dismantling the Texans yesterday, right now they are playing the best football, I would say, out of anybody in the NFL. But that's a little different than who's the best team in the NFL. They are playing the best. Are they the best team? You know, earlier in the season, this was a defense that gave up 40 points to the Browns. It was the only day that the Browns offense really looked great. They gave up 40 points to the Browns. Their other loss wasn't terrible. Their other loss was at Arrowhead Stadium, 33-28. Mahomes outdueled Lamar Jackson. But also remember that very early in the season, they kind of skirted by Arizona. And they only beat a Steelers team that was on its third quarterback by a field goal and only beat the Bengals by a touchdown as well. So there have been some moments that you said, okay, are the Ravens the best team in football with that resume? They're playing the best football right now, no doubt. And I believe it's kind of inarguable right now that they're the best team of the AFC because the only other threat to that crown would be the Patriots, and they stomped on the Patriots. I love, and I've talked about this many times, Lamar Jackson's evolution as a player, as a quarterback, and as a leader. And that has been, to me, one of the most delightful outcomes of this season is that Lamar Jackson, coming out of college, wasn't seen as a great rah-rah guy, a great leader, a great all-around player, a great passer. He was seen as an athlete. And oftentimes that's just code for kind of raw, makes a lot of plays because he's fast, but he's not a quarterback. You know what we think about as a quarterback. And there's a lot that gets sandwiched into being a quarterback. Smart, intelligent, being able to decipher problems on the fly, being coachable, leading others, having the respect of your staff, respect of your teammates. And Lamar's done all of that. Lamar has checked every box. It's so cool. It's just so cool to watch it happen. It's so great. It's a breath of fresh air because he does not play like anybody else has really ever played at that position, save Michael Vick, maybe Vick, but there's even some things that Lamar does that Vick didn't do. It's an adrenaline rush to watch him. And yesterday they picked apart the Texans, just killed them. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. All right, Mraz, after housing that breakfast that I bought you, are the Ravens the best team in the AFC?
Yes.
Are they the best team in the NFL?
No. I would say right now my best team in the NFL.
You still love the Niners?
No. I'm going to give you the Saints. They big bounce back versus the Bucs. Pedigree the last couple of years. Still have the quarterback, still have the defense. The Niners scared me yesterday after that loss. I still have questions about the Packers, questions about the Seahawks. The best team, well-rounded, that I know I can count on. I still don't know about Lamar Jackson and team seeing him a second time come the playoffs. Give me the New Orleans Saints as the best team in the NFL right now.
I would accept that. I also am scared about the Niners, and I've been scared about the Niners all season long. Their defense is wonderful. Normally, they are lights out, but Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray showed some vulnerabilities in that defense yesterday.
And two terrible picks by Garoppolo. Had the Cardinals come down, I don't know how much of the game you saw, Garoppolo throws a pick with like 6 minutes left, and the Cardinals did nothing on that drive. Had they answered the bell, I think the story today is, oh my goodness, look at the 49ers' schedule as Garoppolo in meltdown mode. They got very saved yesterday.
Well, I think I was going to bring that up because I think if you just looked at the box score and you saw Garoppolo's numbers, you'd be like, wow, Garoppolo had a great day. And the game-winning touchdown, you know, that was going to be on every highlight show made you think, oh, Garoppolo got it done when it mattered most. And in some ways he did. But Garoppolo's numbers were deceiving. He threw for 424 yards and four touchdowns. But he had the two interceptions. And that game, they needed every minute of that game to come back. And in the first quarter and beginning of the second quarter, the Niners' offense was lost against a pretty bad Cardinals team.
Stagnant. Couldn't run the ball. Now, I will give them this. Their best target is George Kittle, and now he has been out these last two games. So that offense clearly runs through Kittle, and clearly Garoppolo's missing him. But again, if you're going to graduate into that big-time franchise quarterback, I don't want to hear about the missing parts around you. You can't be throwing costly interceptions like that.
And to your point about the Saints, I know they can run the football. I know Alvin Kamara and company can run the football. I know the Ravens can run the football because Gus Edwards, Mark Ingram, and Lamar Jackson run the football better than anybody else in football. The Niners yesterday had 34 yards on the ground against a Cardinals defense that's won three games. That is a recipe for getting into the playoffs. You might even have a bye and it being one and done if you can't move the football on the ground.
Right, and I don't want to hear about Breda being banged up, Tevin Coleman. Look, I understand they don't have Barry Sanders. Figure out a way to run the ball.
Tevin Coleman had 12 carries for 14 yards. He just kept running into the line every single time. There was no room against the Cardinals. Ugh.
Sunday night football versus the Packers in that pass rush on Sunday night.
So that's a really good test. We'll see. We'll see if the Niners had two bad weeks or if this is the start of them being a little exposed. It was a little too much too soon anyway, I thought, for the Niners. People already pegging them as the best team in football because of their undefeated start. But you simply can't run for 34 yards against the Cards at home and have me believe that you're the best team in football right now.
How about real quickly? We haven't seen a window like this all through football. You could sit on your couch for 12 hours and watch three games. Seahawks-Eagles, Cowboys-Patriots, into 49ers-Packers. That's the best football Sunday we've seen in a long time coming up.
Great threesome. Although I will say, interesting that those are five NFC games and only one AFC game.
Well, it shows you.
AFC team.
It's just the Patriots and Ravens right now.
Yep. I think the Chiefs have the potential to jump into that conversation because of Mahomes, but they're certainly not in that conversation yet. When we come back here on the show, DeAndre Hopkins takes his shots at Al Riveron and the officiating, and Where was this Falcons team the entire season? Plus your epic fail, DA, CBS Sports Radio. You know, I just, before we got to a nice full tummy of Andrew Bogish, could we play a little breakfast liner here? Because everybody here has been now well-fed and we're feeling good and doing well.
Hi, I'd like some breakfast. We stopped serving breakfast.
I don't want lunch. I want breakfast. Have you ever heard the expression, the customer is always right?
We'll take hotcakes and sausage.
Sorry, sir, we stopped serving breakfast.
What are you talking about? We're 4 seconds late. Happy meal, we'll get you one of those Happy Meals. If you got a Happy Meal, can we get a Happy Meal? Will somebody get the kid a Happy Meal?
Bogus, how you feeling after breakfast?
Wonderful. Thank you, DA. And welcome. Thank you to the Bengals for being terrible.
Thank you to the Bengals and Zach Taylor for being such a nightmare. They are looking for Marvin Lewis to come back.
Yeah, Marvin Lewis. People are now thinking that Marvin Lewis was doing a good job because the Bengals are now so bad since he's been gone that maybe Marvin gets back in the league next year.
Cap, the Wizard of WatchDA.com, ordered a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich. What did you order?
I had a Western omelet wrap. And it was delicious.
Okay. I went with the French toast with a side of scrambled eggs. Pete the Body Bilotti.
Egg whites, turkey on a wrap with a little hot sauce and potatoes.
Okay. And Mraz?
I just want to say I'm going to say my order, but understand that the place pulled a fast one with me.
Oh.
I got a chocolate chip Belgium waffle with a side of sausage. It took me to my third waffle piece to realize what was tasting different about the chocolate chips. This place ran out of chocolate chips, did not inform me, put crushed up Oreo to represent chocolate chips. But guess what? You think you're fooling me? Doesn't matter. It tasted better than chocolate chips.
Yeah, that's a bonus.
Number one, I thought you were going to say not chocolate chips, actually dog droppings.
No, I would have picked. I would have smelled that out right away.
Yeah.
I'm an expert.
You have experience in that. Number two, though, that sounds delicious.
It was great.
Oreos in a waffle?
It was great. Now, remember, I showed you guys the bottom, how chocolatey it looked. And that was kind of a tip. You usually don't see that from chocolate chips, that chocolatey. And I realized this taste, it's like fresh, it's something different. And I knew that taste. It was Oreo, and I picked through a little bit. And sure enough, it was broken up Oreo they put in. So this place must have ran out of chocolate chips, said, don't tell them, it's chocolate. Let's do it.
Oh, my.
Oh, okay.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah, so if you think I'm going to complain, you got another thing coming.
All right.
This kid's life just keeps stumbling into greatness.
Yeah.
Wanted chocolate chips, got a free upgrade to Oreos.
And now we know you can put crumbled up Oreos in waffle batter.
Now, wait a minute.
That sounds like a dip.
I might be looking for a lazy football food of the week.
They get a dip.
All right, we'll come back with a cut line.
What did a wonton come? Sorry.
It's Oreo, waffle batter, and a wonton.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
My ass! My fat ass! Up till 1 a.m. getting 4 hours of sleep, pregnant wife and all for this garbage!
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
41 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for being with us. Remember that the DA Show is available in podcast form. If you want to hear us whenever you want to hear us, you can listen to us on demand. Just search for the DA Show in podcast form. I'm going to be on MLB Network a little bit later on today, this afternoon, on MLB Now. We'll be talking a little hot stove with the guys over there. They always do such a fun job. I really enjoy working over there when I get a chance to do so. So check me out, MLB Network, a little bit later on today if you're a seam head and want to talk a little off-season baseball news. It is time for your question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. There's been a report that an ESPN producer says that Chargers fans have bought 40,000 tickets for tonight's game against the Chiefs in Mexico City. This is from a reporter at the Kansas City Star. And Reed Phillips tweets in DA, wait, they've essentially been a road team at home for 2 years in a soccer stadium, but the Chargers fans have gone out and sold their home numbers for the Mexico game? Call me suspicious on this malarkey. I don't believe any part of this. If this game was being played in Tijuana, maybe I would understand, okay, Chargers fans are just driving over the border. Mexico City's really far from San Diego. Really far. That's not a drive.
How far is Tijuana from that?
I think Tijuana from San Diego might be 90 minutes or something.
Oh, okay. So it's like San Diego to L.A., but reverse.
I think so. But Mexico City is a flight. So you're going to tell me that there are all of these disenfranchised Chargers fans that absolutely refuse to travel to Los Angeles to go see their team, which is a 90-minute to two-hour drive at best, or at worst, and yet 40,000 of them are flying to Mexico? No. This is Fugazi. This is the NFL. Pump it up ticket number somehow by buying tickets and distributing them, and maybe even planting people wearing Chargers jerseys in the stands. And I'm serious.
This is the NFL.
I'm serious about this. Because, you know, I'll pull back the curtain on you. I didn't know this, but I had always had a sense of this. You know the New Year's Eve Rockin' Eve concerts? When you're watching TV, and it used to be Dick Clark, now it's Seacrest, they're tossing these concerts, and you're like, why are all these celebrities and musicians taking out time on their New Year's Eve? They're all doing this concert. Somebody told me they had worked in production for that pieces like this, TV shows, and that those are all taped. Oh, that makes sense. Either earlier in the day or sometimes earlier in the week. You go, why are there so many fans that are that into it? They keep putting up close-ups on these fans dancing. He said, they're plants. They hire these people. They're actors. You're like, they don't have every... It's not like there's concerts throughout New Year's Eve live, and they have all these people at concerts. They tape these concerts in L.A. on Thursday, and they hire people to come in and act like it's the best thing ever. I honestly bet the NFL, knowing the embarrassment that is the Chargers in San Diego, well, now L.A., and trying to push the international games, because now there's going to be a 17-game schedule where everybody's likely to play a neutral site game. That's how they're probably going to do this, meaning more games in neutral sites like this, that they just fill it full of actors. You know, I mean, look, they could give away a ton of tickets in Mexico City and just say it's free, come to the game. But if nobody had a Chargers jersey on in the entire stadium, it'd probably be a bad look. Probably handing out Bosa jerseys, Phillip Rivers t-shirts. Oh, yeah. Here you go, Melvin Gordon. Go crazy. You're telling me 40,000 Chargers fans? That's like what? Almost 10 Chargers games worth of home fans, right? I mean, it's at least four. Four Chargers games worth of fans said, yeah, we should go to Mexico City for this game. I don't buy it. No part of this do I buy, Mraz. None.
I don't either. I'm just thankful that they're actually going to play the game in Mexico City here tonight. Remember last year's debacle? So, but yeah, I don't buy it at all. All of a sudden, we're going to get to Mexico City and everybody's going to be wearing Phillip Rivers jerseys. Come on, let's get serious.
No chance. Let's get to the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the Cut Line.
After an obvious pass interference call was not called against the Ravens yesterday and DeAndre Hopkins, it was then reviewed and challenged by Bill O'Brien, and he lost that challenge, and DeAndre Hopkins was upset about that. He posted on his Twitter account, as a leader in the NFL, we need someone new in New York deciding calls. That's a direct shot at Al Riveron, who is the NFL VP of officiating, and Riveron's been a disaster. Now, I think most of this has to do with the NFL officiating crew is bent out of shape, that you can now challenge PI. That was changed, obviously, in the offseason after the outcry and the push after the NFC Championship game, and they have not allowed basically any coach to overturn a PI. In this case, it went too far because that one was an obvious one. Okay, you need clear and obvious evidence. Fine. A lot of times there's not enough evidence. Yesterday on that play, there was. It was a clear and obvious pass interference. But this is the problem with the NFL and its officiating. It is a war between the two sides, and Al Riveron is a toad. The guy doesn't know what's going on. He's not the right guy to lead everything. You've got The better officials have now gotten out of officiating to become in the booth analysts, and the players know Riveron is a pushover and an idiot, and the officiating is just worse and worse by the week. And now, out of spite, they're not going to change something like that, which is stupid.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Can someone tell me where this Falcons team has been all season long? They destroy the Carolina Panthers 29-3 after winning easily over the Saints last week, and this was a 1-7 team, and now they beat back-to-back playoff contenders easily. The defense had been all over Kyle Allen and Drew Brees. The defense created all those turnovers yesterday, and Matt Ryan looked great, and the Falcons looked coherent and organized, and this is even more bothersome because this just shows what the potential of the Falcons was the entire season and that Dan Quinn blew it. And that Dan Quinn had this type of potential on his roster and just it was disorganized and had no direction and had no fight and had no nothing. And they just laid down, rolled over, let the season end. And now suddenly they're playing great football. And you see all this talent on the defensive line. He's the defensive coordinator. This is even more frustrating because it's only a tease about what the Falcons could have been.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And that is your cut line. The beginning of the season, after week number one, I made an ill-fated bet with the crew. I said that the Bengals would be 6-10 or better. Well, they lost their 10th game yesterday. Whew. Yikes. So I owed everybody breakfast, and of course, I paid my bet.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
We'll order breakfast. However, I have one stipulation. Bilotti's got to eat it during the show.
That's fine.
He's already said, you know, I got to get breakfast today because you guys are just going to criticize me.
What?
Because there was the one moment in show history where I bought sandwiches. Okay, no. But he ordered a breakfast, but he saved it for lunch because he already had a breakfast here.
But I was a baby.
And we had declared at that point in time that if somebody bought the breakfast, it had to be eaten before lunch. It could not be saved for a later meal. Is that the way this went down?
Yeah, he wanted to bring the sandwich home.
But I ate it. That's the bottom line.
So this became the controversy. Does it count if Pete ate it later for a different meal?
No, it doesn't. No. You eat it with all of us for breakfast.
Let's not go down this road again.
So I just want the stipulation so there's no controversy here. If I buy you guys breakfast, it has to be actually ingested prior to noon Eastern time.
Very bland.
I mean, even at least most of it. If it's a lot and you want to finish it later on, that's okay. But you can't buy it out of stock for winter.
And I will always say this. You have told me that it needs to be here for the last hour of the show because you want it to serve as a pseudo lunch for you.
Yeah.
And it's already caused these two guys to start freaking out about what time we're ordering.
I've got a belly full of white dog in me. And now you lay this on me?
So, of course, there's always controversy.
Of course. Okay, we'll just get it delivered for 90 minutes from now, okay? Is that fine?
Okay.
Or an hour from now. I don't know. Just going into the final hour.
Okay.
You're right.
Because I'm not hungry yet.
I like music.
Okay, no problem.
And I'm buying. Big boy.
Okay? I'll be hungry in about an hour, and then we'll eat.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Manja. The bet has been paid. Trevor in Bomb City tweets, so when the Falcons pipe in crowd noise, it's a problem. When the NFL inflates Chargers fan support a long way from home, that's okay. Deception is all right when the Shield commissions it. I can't wait to see this crowd tonight. There is no way they've got 40,000 Chargers fans there. No chance. Unless they're flying in actors. Mexico City, suddenly everybody wants to take a vacation there from San Diego. I'm not buying this. Mark tweets, San Diego right across the border from Tijuana. You don't even need 90 minutes to get there unless you're doing some grandpa driving. Jeff tweets, yeah, DA, only 20 miles from Tijuana to San Diego. It's 1,700 miles from San Diego to Mexico City. Roughly the distance from San Diego to Memphis, Tennessee. How would you ever get 40,000 Chargers fans to Memphis, Tennessee? You couldn't. How are you getting 40K Chargers fans?
How big is Mexico?
It's huge.
So Tijuana there is like Memphis to San Diego. It's crazy to have a country that big.
Well, our country is that big.
Yeah, but you see the map? That's like a, it's like an ice cream cone, and we're the big sundae on top.
Yeah, well, our country's that big. Canada's that big. Russia's that big. China's that big. Brazil is that big.
But then you go to Italy. It's a little boot. It's madness out there on this map.
It's madness on the map. Madness. So you're telling me tonight when I tune in to Chargers Chiefs, I'm seeing half the stadium, 40K, has Chargers jerseys on. No chance unless they're paid actors by the NFL and ESPN so that it doesn't look bad on TV.
Ooh.
Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com. And thanks to Andrew Bogush on your headlines. Be good to one another. We'll see you for Trash Tuesday tomorrow. I'm DA and the Mothership Disconnects.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.